I noticed in the newspaper today that the new movie that's out called Unknown is the leading box office candidate this past week, and it's kind of an interesting movie. If you read the literature on it, it says it's a story about a man who goes over to Europe, into Berlin, and he's going to speak at a conference. He gets in a car accident, and he goes into a coma for a couple of days. And when he wakes up, his wife does not recognize him. Another man has assumed his identity. He's ignored. The authorities won't listen to him. He's hunted by mysterious assassins. He finds himself alone, tired, and on the run. And it kind of sounded to me like the Bob Dineen story. But the funny thing about it is it's about this is played by Liam Neeson. It has January Jones in it, Diane Kruger. It's about Liam plays a biotech scientist that goes to Europe to talk about a new variety of corn that can be grown in any climactic condition, and this is the secret that they're trying to steal away from him. So who says corn isn't sexy? You know, speaking of fiction, we see these things about corn or ethanol having caused the disruptions in the Middle East, and yet we see more and more talk, this is a good thing, about how it wasn't really the simmering up people being upset about political freedom. It was ethanol that caused this. And yet more and more commentators say it's a good thing. It's democracy. It's happening. I think you here who brought moisture to the desert yesterday should take credit for ethanol spreading democracy around the world. Let's embrace it. We're a change agent. If you look at some of the things that are going on with food and fuel and corn ending stocks and things, I think it's interesting to look at the data, and I think this chart explains some things very carefully. If you look at average ending stocks from the period of 1990 to 2004, that time period, they were 1.4 billion bushels. Well, in the time period that ethanol took off, 2005 to 2010, our average ending stocks were 1.5 billion bushels. It's one of the things that the rest of the world that reports this doesn't quite understand. The pie got bigger. We didn't reduce the carryover. We didn't take corn away from food use or livestock use to go to ethanol. We expanded the pie, and the carryover has been about the same. You can see the volatility is the same. We're in a very similar pattern that's going on. And the key to this is that farmers respond to economic incentives. When prices are high, they produce more. When prices are low, they produce less. And that's exactly what's going on again. Now, if I were to tell you that the national corn growers bring a little bit, thinking ahead, had stockpiled 500 million bushels of corn in six locations across the Midwest, the first thing that happened to that got out, the price would decline pretty rapidly. And I want to go right ahead and tell you we didn't do that. It's not true. We don't have that out there. I wish we did. But the point I want to make is 500 million bushels, why it sounds like a lot, is 5% of what we produced last year. It's the equivalent of having had 160 bushels to the acre instead of 156. We did 165 the year before, so it's rounding error. 500 million bushels would give us a carryover at the end of this year of 1.2 billion bushels, which would be very bearish from the point that we're at right now. And the point that I'm trying to make is the difference between having too much and too little in the corn market nowadays is very, very narrow. That's a 5%. Very, very narrow. And so that's why we have volatility. There's not much margin there. And so disruptions one way or the other can have a big impact on markets. Let's look at some of the numbers here. This is the pro-exporter forecast comparing 2010-11 and then 11 and 12. You can see we're showing a carry-in coming into this year. 743 million bushels. They're a little bit higher than what USDA is. I think USDA is at 675. Notice the farm price, 540 last year, 528 in 2011. We produced 12.4 billion bushels. They're projecting 13.8. They're showing 165 bushels to the acre for this year on about 90 million acres. So going up from 88 million planted acres to 90, or 81 million harvested acres to 83. I think USDA in their 10-year baseline is looking at 92 million planted acres. I think Doan is looking at 91. So we have most people in the range of 90 to 92 million acres. USDA is a little lower on their yield. They're at 158. but in that range of 13.5 to 13.8 billion bushels. That'll bring us out 842 million bushel carryover at the end of this year, if that all holds the same. If you look at it in a little more detail there, this is a time period 2001 out to 2012. I want to point out a couple of things. Look at the carry-in, which is the top row across the top, 1.8, 1.5, 1 billion, 900 million, 2.1, 1.9, 1.3, 1.6. You can see there's quite a variation as we go along. Yield, 138 in 2001. And we went up to 152.8, 153, and we're projecting 164. That's just less than a 10-year time period. We've gone from 138 to 164. That's the story, is production. Productivity has allowed us, and that's the thing that's going to get us out of the dilemma that we're in now. Notice down at the bottom, prices, 197 in 2001, 232, 242, 206, $2. It was only 6 years ago, five, 6 years ago, that we'd come out of a period of 10 years when we were stuck at $2 a bushel farm price or below. And so that's not that long ago. It was less than 6 months ago you could have bought corn for under $3.50 a bushel. Again, changes, a lot of recent changes, and things will change again. This is a little more detail. You can't see this very well, but what I wanted to point out here, again, this is the same time period, is towards the bottom is dried distillers grain production. We go from almost 4 million tons up to 35 million tons over this same time period, from 2001 to 2010. And corn displaced by dried distillers grains goes up to over a billion bushels. When you hear people in the media talk about 40% of our corn goes to ethanol, they're either misinformed or being deceitful or lazy and haven't done their homework. Absolutely not true, because they don't take into account the dried distillers grains, the displacement, that a third of that corn going into ethanol goes back into the feed channels and displaces corn. And it's one of the pieces of misinformation. It's under 30%. But the key is, we're producing a food product. You know this story. It's one that isn't being well told. The other thing I want to point out there is, look at our other uses. Feed use has been going down. Exports have stayed basically right below 2 billion bushels. But this productivity story, we've produced more and more and more as these yields have increased, and it's ethanol that's taken up the difference. As this pie has gotten larger, we have not sent less to export. We have not sent less to feed or food use. We have just produced more and made the pie get bigger. Well, this too shall pass, and it's because of this productivity. This is the corn industry yield trend line. You can see that we're increasing at an increasing rate. One trend line there is from 1972 to 2007. The little shorter one in red is 2000 to 2009, and you see it has a steeper curve. And again, you know this story well. We're increasing our rate of increase at an increasing rate, and this is what the story is in the corn market. This is a little graph that shows the probability of being off trend from the normal probability. And if you look at this very carefully, it's pretty clear that we normally are on trend. There's some percentage of time that we're going to be below trend, and some we're going to be above trend. But the reality is that the odds favor us being at trend line, which would put us at about 162, 163, 164 this year, or above trend. The combination of those together is much stronger than the combination of being below trend line. Well, all these things that I've just told you are things that you already know. This is not new information. There are two pieces of information I brought this afternoon that are new and unique. One is this. I'm going to show you a study that we commissioned in Informa Economics, just some highlights. Last spring, this is when we were looking at $3 to $3.50 corn. We were assuming we were going to have a record corn production. We ask Informa to look at a range of options looking out to 2020 and show us what might happen under different scenarios. And we have not yet gotten the final report. These are some preliminary highlights. Their baseline assumption assumes that corn yields will increase to 189 bushel to the acre by 2020. Our own NCGA projection is 205, so Informa is slightly less optimistic than we are, but that's still pretty aggressive. They're assuming ethanol demand will be capped at the 15 billion gallons under the RFS2, that California low carbon fuel standard will push Midwest ethanol out of California and out of some other states that will have modest corn imports from China, will increase production, but cap demand will cause stocks to rise and eventually shift away from corn to soybeans. And this is what that looks like. So what you have here is a scenario. This is their baseline scenario. The green dotted line indicates acreage planted to corn will gradually decline. Soybean acres will continue to increase, reaching almost 90 million. And in about 2017, 2018, we will have more soybean acres than corn acres under this baseline scenario. Cotton and wheat acres drop slightly, but remain flat after that. So here we have a situation where production exceeds demand. We would have carryover acres for corn would decline because we'd have burdensome carryover. This is their baseline if nothing changes. This is what it looks like in terms of end-use markets, where things go into that baseline forecast. We see modest growth in corn going to ethanol until that market plateaus in 2015. Livestock demand recovers to pre-recession levels with modest expansion. Exports are relatively flat at 2 billion bushels. Carryout stocks recover after 2012 on higher yield. Stocks continue to grow until they're near 2 billion bushels. And as stocks continue to rise, the acres shift away from corn into soybeans. So again, this is their baseline assumption. We asked them to look at a 20 billion gallon scenario by 2020. If we had some kind of release in the RFS that allowed us to go to 20 billion gallons, what would be the impact? So that's this scenario under this one. So under this scenario, we have a situation where corn acres remains relatively flat, hovering at about 90 million planted acres instead of declining under the baseline. Soybean acres continue to grow, but at a slower rate. No real change in wheat or cotton acres. Under the S&D, we have ethanol demand continuing to grow, with ethanol becoming the leading use of corn in 2015. Livestock demand for dried distillers grains is largely saturated by 2015. Dried distillers grains above baseline are exported and become competitive with corn exports. Carryout continues to rise, and even in this scenario, in excess of 2 billion bushels. The key point here is, even under a 20 billion gallon scenario, both these scenarios, we see stocks continuing to grow because of this productivity equation. In terms of net crop revenue, the green represents the base case. The yellow represents the 20 billion gallon case. For soybeans, the blue is base. The red is the 20 billion gallons case. Basically, under the 20 billion gallon scenario, both corn and soybeans, net revenue per acre continues to grow relative to the baseline. With additional demand for corn going to ethanol, the corn net revenue grows at a faster rate than soybeans. That helps explain why corn holds acreage and soybean acres continues more slowly in this scenario. So interesting. And again, this is what they think the industry will look like under a 20 billion gallon snapshot. You can see there would be 253 firms producing 20 billion gallons, employing over 10,000 people. Well, in summary, there are not a lot of surprises about what's going on in the corn sector at this time. We have, right now, no slowing in use. You saw the USDA reports. I did a little survey out there. We're not seeing any in the countryside slowing down of cattle on feed or use for ethanol. We know that weather conditions have gotten better in the southern hemisphere. One of the things that we're blessed with in corn and soybeans is we produce a crop every 6 months. In the northern hemisphere and the southern hemisphere, it looks like we're going to have more available in Argentina than we thought. On the negative side, there appears to be an epic drought forming in China. It'll have a big impact on wheat prices. We know that cattle on feed continue to increase. That's going to have more feed demand. Milk cow numbers are up. Higher cash prices for hogs and milk. Hog prices or net revenues are negative right now, but they're still continuing to put more hogs on feed. And we will have a record total corn use in 2011. We also have record farm exports in terms of dollar value. That'll be primarily higher prices for commodities and more meat exports. Farm income is strong. We will see tax laws that favor investment. The implications of farm income being strong, farmers are responding to the incentive. Higher prices, they will put more inputs on to produce a higher crop. There's some variability they can use there. They will invest in larger capacity equipment. Soybean stocks to use will hit a record low. We'll see a lot more soy double cropping as we have more soft red winter wheat, so the soy acres can pick up a little bit without taking acres from corn. Right now, budgets favor corn in general, favor corn over soybeans, so farmers have an incentive to put more corn acres in. We know that wheat exports will be strong, but we have a fairly high carryover. We're about 38% stocks to use on wheat, so that's not a long-term play there. Finally, we had record cotton prices. Cotton prices are three times as high today as they were a year ago, so there's a real incentive to plant cotton if you can do that. The other piece of information that I have for you that's unique is I went to our corn board last week. We have 15 corn board members are spread across the United States, and I asked them a series of questions about what they're planning to do this year. So this is a summary of the things that I heard from them. They said there were a lot of hard lessons that were learned in 2009 and 2010. The reduction in yields that we saw in 2010 over what was anticipated really had their roots in 2009, that terrible spring that we had in 2009, the terrible fall harvest left, in general, the planting conditions in 2010 not very optimum. And so we had a real decrease in conditions going into 2010. In retrospect, farmers think that had a real strong impact on their yields. We had a lot of stover that didn't break down because of the cold spring. We had a carbon debt that tied up nitrogen, so the corn plant was not able to take care of that or use it. I asked them about rotation. Little change in rotation. They're seeing strong returns in both corn and soybeans. Those are doing 50-50 are going to stay there. Those are doing 75 corn, 25 soybeans think they're going to stay there. Slight tilt towards more corn. Those that did corn on corn, there were some disasters last year, but people that have done that are going to stay with it. They believe in the long-term trend that it works for them. There's some that it doesn't work, but those that are doing corn on corn seem to be staying in that same place. They're going to use more traits. They're going to continue to use triple stack. That seemed to be cheap insurance given relative prices. They will continue to apply that technology. One of the biggest pieces of information, we're coming into 2011 with a very good 2010 fall. So the fall tillage, the application of inputs, field work was done. They're coming in feeling really good about the potential for producing a big crop in 2011. This is in strong contrast to coming into the 2010 crop year. We have relatively good soil moisture across the Corn Belt. We have a lot of acres that were under prevented planting last year because of the poor 2010 fall harvest, the 2009, so it wasn't planted in 2010. Those acres are ready to take corn. They've had a year to be fallow. Those should be very productive acres, and they're available. We primarily planted to corn. I asked them what they thought yields would be almost across the board. They expected, all things being equal, yields to be 165 bushels to the acre, national average or higher. Spring weather obviously will be key. If we have a decent spring, we expect a strong push into corn. Again, if we have a delayed spring, it's a shift into soybeans. All things being equal, they felt very strongly were positioned for a strong yield in 2011. In summary, you can say there's a tight world situation, lots of volatility. Spring planting will be the key as usual, but even more so. But again, the difference this year, all things being equal, we have a very strong pre-start into this spring. Fall tillage, fall fertilizer application, equipment's in good shape. Storage is there. There's a real incentive to use the inputs. Odds favor a move to significant yields in 2011 and moving to a larger carryover going in 2012. And I think one issue, Bob, we didn't have in the agenda that's even more important, particularly at my home, is I understand there's an embargo on cocoa exports out of the Ivory Coast, and there's going to be a shortage on Easter bunnies next month. So we need to take a look at that a little bit later. Thank you very much.